Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking about how to approach this today because if you notice in our readings, both Old Testament readings and the Gospel reading are dealing with the Sabbath. So why is the Sabbath so important? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that it's important for us to go to church. Well, I don't know how many people I talk about. Well, I don't need to go to church. I can commune with God or talk to God on my own. The Bible does not say that. Okay. Yes, I know there's been a lot of people who have been hurt by the church. I also know there's a lot of people who are working two or three jobs, and they want to take some time off and sleep in on Sunday mornings. But why is it so important? Well, Luther said something that I really like. He said the church is built on three foundations. The first is Christ. That makes sense to me. Doesn't it make sense to you? The second is grace. The third, and here's where it gets interesting, is fellowship. Fellowship. One of the things that he did was he used the Greek word for this. Okay, so he's speaking in German, but he used the Greek word, and it's called koinonia. Okay, now I've used that word in here before, koinonia. So what does it mean? Well, fellowship. You know, fellowship is one of those real fancy words. So your kids come up to you, all right, Mom or Dad, what does fellowship mean? We use words all the time. Well, it sort of means this, but we don't know what they mean. We know it's the right word for the right time. Does that make sense? Fellowship. The Book of Mark. We talked about in Bible study on Wednesday, the audience that a book, especially the four Gospels, are written for. Okay, the first one was written for the Jews, Matthew, because it starts out, you know, all the begots at the beginning of that. Then we can go to Luke, and Luke is written with a real high Greek. It was written because he was going to the Romans and giving them Jesus Christ. John was written for all y'all. Okay? If you want to know what it means to be a Christian, read John. So what is Mark? I can remember the first day at the seminary when we were studying the Gospel of Mark. Dr. Scarry the Younger went up to the board and big letters wrote, Fellowship! Why? Because it's inviting people to join the group and what your responsibilities are and what you gain from that group. Make sense? Okay. So when we look at koinonia, koinonia is what we have here. We're all friends. This is a family. We get together and celebrate each other, not just celebrate the Lord. Now, there's been a lot of readings here lately that have dealt with the Holy Spirit coming to you and our service to each other, right? And I've done a lot of preaching on this. I want to share something with you, and this is from Santa Teresa. Said that to give our Lord a perfect service. And it's going to talk about Martha and Mary, okay? Martha and Mary must combine. All right, remember the story behind that? Jesus comes to their house. Mary is sitting there at the feet of our Lord and just soaking everything up. And Martha is trying to get all the food on the table, you know, take care. And she's jumping, why don't you help? And Jesus says, no, she's doing the right thing. Okay. But it's interesting, Martha and Mary must combine. So they're both right, but yet they're both wrong at the same time. sort of a dichotomy. And if you don't know what dichotomy is, it's when you try and take a square peg, put it in a round hole. It don't fit. So the modern tendency is to turn from the attitude and work of Mary. Okay? And I said Martha, but sorry about that. Mary. And even call it, as I have heard it called by busy social Christians, a form a form of spiritual selfishness. Thousands of devoted men and women today believe that the really good part about Christianity is to keep busy and give themselves no time to take what is offered to those who abide quietly with Christ. Boy, there's a heavy statement, isn't it? All right, so keep busy. Go out there, serve the Lord. How do we finish our service? Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God, right? Serve. But what are we missing when we do that? Okay, that's the Martha bit. That's the person who is, you know, you got to get in here and help me put all this food on the table. But what are you missing when you do that? You're missing our Lord and Savior. Okay? You're missing the koinonia of what you folks are doing right now. They give themselves no time to take what is offered to those who abide quietly with Christ. Because there seem such a lot of urgent jobs for Martha to do. The result of this can only be a maiming of their human nature, exhaustion, lost of depth and vision. You lose your humanity by doing that. All right, there was a thing came out a few years ago. I got more to read on this, but it's called the Dipper in the Bucket. You ever heard that business thing? We start out with our bucket full, right? And you put your dipper in there and you start handing it out, okay? There comes a point where the dipper's pulled everything out of the bucket, and the bucket's empty. You've given all you can. What has come to you? What's been given to you? Not much, has there? That's what this is talking about. Because when you give, you should receive at the same time, right? Okay. What if you give and don't receive? Is that Christian? Yes, I have been listening, Denise. Okay. It is seen in the vagueness and ineffectuality of a great deal of the work that is done for God. It means a total surrender to the busy click, click, click of the life of succession. Nowhere in the end more deadly than in the religious sphere. Boy, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Let me do that again. It means a total surrender to the busy click, click, click of the life of succession. Well, let's see. I got to go give here, and I got to go give there, and I got to go give over here. Let's see. But I'm not getting anything back. Okay. Nowhere in the end more deadly than in the religious sphere, because you keep on giving so much, you never get anything back. It's what you and I were talking about this morning. It is, but remember what he also said, if you give, you get it back tenfold. What if you're not getting back the tenfold? See, there's got to be checks and bandages, you know, forward and back, all this other stuff that goes along with this. You ever had a friend that drains you? You know what I mean? You give so much, and in the end, what good did it do? That's what this is talking about. Because you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. They say they do. Yeah. Kick the dirt off your sandals and go to the next town. That's what Paul said. Okay. So, I insist on this because I feel more and more the danger in which we stand of developing a lopsided Christianity. In other words, you give, you don't get back. So concentrated on service and on this world obligations as to forget the needs of constant willed and quiet contact with that other world, the supernatural world, the world of Jesus, the world of Jesus coming to us, giving to us, filling our bucket again. Wherefrom the sanctions of service and the power in which to it do proceed. So if your bucket's not getting filled up, if you're not giving, getting something back from that, how do you keep on giving without getting back? You can't. All right. Sounds like somebody's pretty smart today, isn't it? Evelyn Underhill lived from 1875 to 1941. And this is from a book she wrote called Mixed Pasture. So this was written in the 30s. Have things really changed? Yeah, here's that. No. And you know, the thing is, when we start looking at things like this, human nature has always been the same. You know, we could go back to something in biblical times, look at and see the same thing. Look at it this way. What did Paul say in Corinthians? Women should keep silence in church. All right, women, shut up. Don't say anything. I haven't got any tomatoes thrown at me yet. Why did he say that? Did he believe that women should never speak in church? No. Well, and the church in Ephesus, Ephesians, okay. Priscilla, who I really think wrote the book of Hebrews, led the church. She and Apollinaris. But when you start looking at this, what these women were doing, was they would take their knitting to worship and sit and gossip during the service. And Paul said, no, you're here to worship God. But in the Jewish religion, women were not really a part of worship. See what I'm getting at? So it was a learning curve that they had to learn. And a lot of them did. I mean, let's face it, if it wasn't for Priscilla in Ephesus, would that have been the biggest Christian city in Turkey? Good question, isn't it? So when we start looking at all of this stuff, when you serve the Lord, you've got to open up that time for Him to come to you. Why do you think the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me? But the third one is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why? Because you need this. You need this time. You can't get this sitting there talking to God in your house, especially if you're watching NFL. See what I'm getting at? It's the wrong way to do things. You know, it's just like since I've done these music motivationals, there's so much great music out there that really we have a way of doing things that we sing. Well, sometimes it doesn't hurt us to sit down and listen. Okay? What does God tell us? Be still and know that I am God. Well, how do you know He's God unless you start listening and letting it come into you, filling that bucket again? You with me? Does that make sense? When I look at what's going on in the world right now, especially in Gaza, I said Giza, but earlier. Gaza, what's going on in the Ukraine. Now Taiwan and China. In fact, I saw a thing on MSN just yesterday that said a invasion of Taiwan would probably take an hour. And the Chinese military is circling Taiwan right now. All right, you can put two and two together and come up with four. All right. So all of this stuff is going on. How do we keep from having a world war? Well, we come here and we pray. I do believe that prayer changes things. Like I told, mentioned that to Ellie this morning about laying on hands. We might even do that today for her. Folks, I have never been so scared as when the doctor said, you have leukemia. Okay? I mean, it's not easy, is it? Oh, man. And so when I told congregation, we did a laying on of hands, went back to the doctor. Guess what? It didn't show up on any of the tests. Does prayer have the power to heal? Yes. But where do we pray like that? Right here. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I told you the story when I belonged to that Danish Lutheran church in Omaha, North Omaha. Walked in and a bunch of us were laughing. We don't laugh in church. Well, I don't know. I do. But Bible doesn't say anything about laughing. Well, all I know is Jesus hung out with all the artists, actors, and drank wine and probably told jokes. You know, it's don't add stuff that's not in there. Just read the Bible. But one of the things I think is a strength of our church, in 3 years, we go through the Bible in church. Now, it's not enough to really catch on everything. And yeah, we do miss a few things. But for the most part, we have the Bible, don't we? All right, let's do this. Oh, yeah, no kidding. Ellie, sweetheart, commit. Get up here. We're going to make you chairperson. Okay. Have a seat. Everyone, get out of your chairs, come up here, and let's lay on hands. Give me your hands. Okay. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for a blessing for our sister Ellie. Lord, cancer is not something that we can cure on our own. That we have to work with a lot of doctors. But Lord, you have the power to cure. You have the power to give your healing grace to our sister. We pray that you would share this with Ellie and help her through this time. Lord, take this problem away from her. We pray that you would bless her with this, or at least lessen what she is going to be going through. And Lord, we know that if we believe in you, that you will come help us. We ask for this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.